I grew up on the South Side. We had relatives in the western suburbs. My dad hated paying tolls, so we would take the back roads and go down Archer Avenue, and I would always ask myself, what is back there? What is behind those trees? What's going on there? And the more you learn, the more you unpeel that onion, the more you see that the stuff that you're doing is really at the grassroots level to help businesses and help grow the economy.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective.
Hello, Chicagoland. Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage. Today, I'm joined by Chris Heckel, Director of the Materials Manufacturing Innovation Center at Argonne National Laboratory. For those of you who don't know, Argonne is one of 17 Department of Energy National Laboratories, and it's located right here in DuPage County. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Greg. Very happy to be here.
And it's great to have you here, and great to learn more about MMIC, and great to learn more about Argonne, because I know there's just so much fascinating stuff happening out there, and MMIC is clearly at the forefront of that. So with that being said, tell us a little bit about MMIC and what you do to help support it.
Thank you. The Department of Energy, along with a lot of other government agencies, loves their TLAs, or three-letter acronyms. This one happens to be a four-letter acronym, MMIC, which we do call MMIC, the Materials Manufacturing Innovation Center. And so it's a center in which we make connections with industry to hear what's important to them, bring that back to the lab, and then also transfer technology out of the lab into industry. So in geek terms, I'm a transfer function.
Wow. So my first question that jumps to mind is, what kind of materials?
So materials that we've been working with are, for example, novel cathode materials for next generation batteries. So the nickel metal cathode that was invented and is in the Chevy Bolt and Volt was invented at Argonne maybe 25 years ago. And we continue to innovate and scale up and develop and transfer out to technology new battery chemistries. So that's an example of a material that we would be working with.
And I'm assuming that battery technology is trying to make it find ways to make it last longer, be smaller, be lighter weight, because we know about what's happening in the EV world right now. And I know Argonne plays a big role in that.
Yes. So it would be working with companies and working with lab researchers on what is the next generation material. Could be higher performing, like you talked about, could be less expensive, could be less lithium, so that we don't have to rely so much on importing materials from other countries.
So do companies come to you? Do you go to companies? Do you work with trade shows, industrial associations? Or how do you find the people that would come into MMIC, and how do you find those folks that you work with?
We take a all of the above kind of an approach. So last year, we went to 10 different conferences and exhibited. And so we had materials to talk about. We can talk to you about batteries. We could talk to you about CO2 capture. We can talk to you about hydrogen economy. We can talk about circular economy. And we highlighted some of the facilities that we have. We would do cold calls to some companies. I would meet companies at DOE events and also trade organizations like you mentioned.
So staying on the battery theme for a minute, lithium ion batteries, and I know nothing about batteries, full disclosure, but we always hear about changes in kind of the kinds of batteries and the source within the battery or the power source within the battery. Is that something where I said, I have an idea of a product or a new way of developing a battery or smaller, as you pointed, higher output? Do I reach out to you guys and say, here's my idea? How do I get involved if I'm that business?
There's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of support in Chicagoland in general. There's a lot of support for entrepreneurs and for companies that want to do something new. So there's MHUB, which is an outreach of World Business Chicago. There's World Business Chicago in general. Argonne has something called the Chain Reaction Innovations Organization, which directly supports entrepreneurs, and we could talk a little bit about that. People can reach out to me directly. There's the Science and Technology Partnerships and Outreach Organization at Argonne, which is another way to kind of get in the door. So all of these options are available to support entrepreneurs here.
And I do want to talk about Chain Reactions Innovation in a minute, but before we get to that, maybe you can help our audience understand what that entry process is like into MMIC, kind of going back to, I think that it's fair to say that there's a lot of unknown regarding Argonne, as I mentioned earlier, and there might be some apprehension on businesses' But my understanding is it's not that hard, is that it's a much easier.
So companies, it doesn't cost anything to have a conversation. Having conversations is super easy. And the first step I think that we would take would be scheduling phone calls, maybe a video meeting, exchanging some materials. Then we might graduate towards visits. And coming onto the lab, there is a little bit of a process to get on. Generally takes maybe a week, something like that, to fill out the paperwork and get the approval, because there are some things happening at the lab that we want to be really cautious about. But we attend conferences. We bring companies onto the lab all the time. Companies can come and tour people, individuals. Actually, there are public tours of the lab. So if you go to argonanl.gov and search for public tours, people just can sign up to tour the lab designated times throughout the month. But we do a lot of tours and show people the facilities, the capabilities. We engage with the different scientists, engineers, and innovators, talk about collaboration opportunities, and share our goals, what we might be interested in, and then figure out how we're going to work together. There's a couple of different ways to work financially with the lab. So companies can supply to the lab. So we hire vendors, right? We buy materials and equipment, and we've got a local supply base. And we also have an office of small and disadvantaged businesses, and we try to do outreach so that those companies can become suppliers to Argonne. But in terms of like innovating and working together, if there's a large organization and they want us to do work just for them and not talk about it to anybody, we can do that for cost. So the company would pay us the money. They would have any intellectual property that comes out of that, and we wouldn't be able to use it with anything else. The Department of Energy does have solicitations where they say, hey, we've got $15 million to give to the coolest ideas for the next generation carbon capture substrate material. So who's got a great idea for a carbon capture? And we would write a application joint with a company, and the Department of Energy would say, we love your idea, Argonne. Here, you get the $1.5 million. There are seven other people that also get $1.5 million. But Argonne, you can have $1.5 million. And a company could get some of that money, or they might do what we call in-kind cost share. So maybe some experiments happen in their facility, and that would count as some of the money that the DOE would be accounting for. So that's another way that we could work together.
What are kind of some of the things that you guys are seeing right now at MIMIC in terms of new product development or carbon capture or battery? So I guess what I'm asking is, what's hot right now, Chris? What, what is everybody kind of chomping at the Argonne door to try to take advantage of?
Definitely battery materials is a key aspect, but we are also working on any continuous flow kind of a process. So you can make things in a batch. Think of like cookies, you know, sort of making them a couple at a time. Or you can do something that's more continuous. And so we can do batch reactions. We can do continuous flow reactions. We can do flame spray hydrolysis to make novel chemistries that people might use to make something specialized like a carbon capture adsorber. We work on catalyst materials so that increases the reaction rate of some kind of reaction that you want to have. We work on taking plastic waste and upcycling it to some kind of new product. So any of these sorts of materials would be in scope.
So you lead the organization, but I'm assuming that there's a team of really smart people like yourself at Argonne, scientists and the like behind the scenes. If I'm one of these companies or if I'm somebody who is involved in the MIMIC program, do I get assigned a point person?
So whatever problem that you have, we're going to match you up with the people that make the most sense for your particular problem. And then people develop these long-term relationships. Sometimes we publish papers together. We go to conferences together. We do work, you know, year after year, decade after decade together, and people build up these long-term relationships. We hire new people. We generate new relationships. So, in fact, yes, people do get partnered, if you will, with somebody that's got the exact skill set that they need to achieve their technical objectives.
Two follow-up questions for that, because I've seen this a lot, where a business or a person has this idea for the next best, let's stay with the battery theme, lithium ion battery. But with all due respect to that person is the genius from the scientific perspective. But there's also the business perspective of taking it from idea to commercialization and getting it outside the lab and developing a product line and how do you get it to market. Does the lab assist with that as well, or is that a handoff to somebody else?
There's two kind of aspects to that. The Chain Reaction Innovations is an example of a lab-embedded entrepreneur program that's funded by DOE that are hosted by four national labs. Argonne's got one. And the director of that is Dick Coe. That program specifically invites entrepreneurs who have just recently incorporated or are on the edge of incorporation to apply to a two-year residency at the lab where they get technical support as well as financial support and business education. That's one kind of aspect of the business support. The lab also has this organization called Science and Technology Partnerships and Outreach, which handles all of our licensing and commercialization activity. That's run by Megan Clifford, and Dick and I report through her organization also.
What's in it for the lab? What's the benefit of the lab doing this?
The Department of Energy is, a federally funded agency that's congressionally funded. And the Department of Energy operates the labs or has the labs operated for the Department of Energy's benefit. So there's a presidential agenda, there's the congressional needs, and that results in an energy bill that gets passed by Congress, which tells the Department of Energy, here are the things that we want you to do, and we want you to assure energy independence. We want you to make sure that nuclear is safe. We want you to enable EV transition in this country. And then those get cascaded down as objectives for the lab. So really, we're fulfilling the objectives for the department, which comes from Congress and from administrations. The lab is definitely interested and driven to work more closely with the community. We have an Office of Community Engagement. We have Argonne in Chicago. We're doing some educational mapping on the south side. We have a Crocus project, which we've deployed sensors and measurement devices to track air quality and then how the impact of local traffic or wind or weather, what does that have? What impact does that have on air quality conditions really hyper locally? So that then can be fed back into models and we can figure out what does that mean? How can we more positively impact air quality for people in regions? We've done STEM outreach for decades, a lot of K through 12 college, community college, postgraduate outreach to get people on board into the lab for some STEM education. And all that work continues. So that's all kinds of outreach. There's the science and engineering that the lab does. There's the outreach to industry and working to get technology deployed. There's the work with community engagements, and there's work with workforce and students. I mean, the lab is very multidimensional.
Let's talk more about MMIC for a minute. How long has MMIC been around as part of the lab?
It's pretty new. So I've only been there for a little bit more than a year, and I'm the first official director of the Materials Manufacturing Innovation Center. The lab a few years ago started thinking that manufacturing in this country is a key part of the economy. And, you know, we know that it's about 8.5% of employment in the U.S., maybe 11% of GDP. I think those are some numbers that I've seen recently. And how can we, from a lab perspective, support manufacturing in the U.S.? And the lab's got a lot of expertise in materials. Why don't we work with materials companies? What do they need? So in my imagination, materials companies care about supply chain, raw materials, workforce, labor, process, decarbonization, operational efficiency, yields, cost, the next new product, right? So new technology, also quality architecture, packaging, transportation, shipping. And the lab has activities in almost all of those.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the lab assets in workforce and labor? Because you can't have a conversation with a manufacturer in DuPage County, Northeastern Illinois, and in my opinion, the country without the topic going to labor and the lack thereof, or workforce and skilled workforce.
Yeah, the lab for a long time has been working on STEM education. And so that's getting more people involved in STEM. That has been historically for the benefit of the lab, or getting more people involved in science, but also been running eco-car challenges of a variety of types for 30 years, funded by the Department of Energy. And the most recent one is called the Battery Workforce Challenge. And so this is challenges that schools, universities can sign up to participate, where they get a chassis and they have to design a battery and install it into the car over the course of 3 years. So that's college, but we're also reaching out to community colleges and into high schools to get people more involved in the battery workforce. We're also really heavily looking at what are the other kinds of workforce programs that would more directly impact manufacturing. So I think that we all know that trades is an undervalued skill set in this country. And so how can we get more apprenticeships? How can we work with high schools and even middle schools maybe to get that mentality out there that manufacturing is a really great job? It's not just a job, but it can lead to a career. So getting more people exposed. We've been networking and working with the Illinois Manufacturing Association, Illinois Manufacturing Excellence Center. I know they're working really hard on some workforce programs. We're collaborating with them. Sure. There's stuff happening in the northern part of the state where they have like signing days. So when they get students, high school students that agree to come work for the company, they sign them almost like sports. That's a really creative, innovative idea. So we're the Department of Energy and this administration in particular is really focused on workforce and getting more manufacturing jobs. And my friends in plants, you know, they can hire engineers. That's not the issue. But they have trouble hiring electricians. They have trouble hiring plumbers. They have trouble hiring people who can install refractories or tin knockers, you know, to mm-hmm. put in all the HVAC sure. systems. So these are things that I think that we really need.
It's a strange and long overdue pivot that seems to be happening right now in the workforce and the labor market, where the focus for years, I'm probably guilty of it, was you're not only going to get a college education, you're going to get an advanced degree and maybe something beyond that. And I think that now the manufacturing world is feeling the effects of that mindset. And I'm tickled to hear you say that you're actually considering going into the middle schools, because for years, when the labor issues were presented to the economic development community, there was a hesitancy to go to the high schools. Now it's a given. You have to go to the high schools. And now people are starting to think that you've got to start exposing really young people to working with their hands again, cross-training again, recognizing that you're not on an assembly line and you're not just driving a widget into another widget, that one day you're going to need to learn how to program the machine and the next day you're going to need to learn about supply chain management and just-in-time delivery. And hopefully, it's a big ship to turn around, right? I mean, it's not a small task to change that paradigm that quickly. So it's going to be a big task. Where do you see things going? Where does the lab and Mimic see things going in the next 3 to 5, maybe even 10 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I do think that manufacturing kind of as an industry has been raising their hand saying, hey, we need workforce, we need workers, we can't find the people. And so, yeah, finally, I think after a lot of hue and cry, there's people paying attention and trying to make some change and communicate that it's not Laverne and Shirley, you know, mm-hmm. it is more sophisticated work. So I think in the next few years, you're going to continue to see the lab figure out how we can support these sorts of educational opportunities. The lab's got a lot of resources. The Department of Energy has a lot of resources. We've got drive. We've got connections. We've got community engagements. We're a really good convener. We have this broad network, and we know how to bring people together and have a conversation around, well, what would be useful? What could we do together?
Yeah, and I'd love to hear that instead of the lab saying we're this big Department of Energy-driven monolithic government structure and we're all going to develop the next greatest whatever the case may be, it sounds like you're going to the business community and saying, you guys tell us what you need. You're going to the manufacturers and saying, what are your pain points?
Yes, we want to create opportunities for that, for sure, because you know, we're not in an ivory tower looking down from on high saying this is the answer. We're saying we're here to help. You know, we've got resources, we know smart people. Some of us are smart people. We know mm-hmm. smart people. You know, mm-hmm. let's figure out how we can work together to help to move the needle.
What's the easiest, fastest way for somebody who wants to get engaged with the lab or MMIC to get started?
Probably you could email me at heckle@anl.gov or go onto my LinkedIn page. That would probably be the fastest way. And, you know, I'm likely not the right person for exactly what somebody needs, mm-hmm. but I commit to making that connection for them.
What else gets you excited about getting in there and going to work every morning and heading over to the lab?
I am very much energized by the diversity of thought, experience, and perspective of the people at the lab. So we hire people from all walks of life who have different kinds of expertises. And for me, that cross-functional team kind of coming together, bringing their own ideas and in a space where we can talk openly and figure out what to do next is really energizing. So we've got people who want to make a difference. They're smart. They're creative. They have cool ideas. They want outlets for those cool ideas. Most people who invent things don't want to invent something that's going to sit on the shelf. They want to invent something that's going to be deployed. And so they're not great at the deployment part, but they're really good at the invention part. So they ask me, you know, help me make connections so that I can get this technology out into the marketplace so it can be useful to people. Nobody wants to invent the next big battery and then have it sit on the shelf for 25 years.
We actually, Choose DuPage, had a board meeting, and Argonne was kind enough to host that board meeting, and Director Kearns was giving a presentation on the lab, and the conversation quickly turned to labor. We've said it a bunch of times during this conversation. You hire really smart people. How is labor in that really smart people universe impacting the lab right now?
Like everybody, there's a lot of transition. And so before this role, I spent more than 20 years at one company, and I don't think you're going to see that too much in the future, you know? So people get 4 or 5 years experience and then they want to go and learn something else. And so there's a lot of transition like that. I think that's going to continue. I think the competition for talent, all kinds of talent. So, you know, we have scientists, but we also have technicians and we have operators and we have 24/7 coverage. We have health, safety, and welfare. We have all these different kind of skill sets and they're all smart, you know, in their way. And so we compete for them. One of the strengths of why would you want to work for a national lab? So if you could work for Tesla, you know, and make a little bit more than you can make at the national lab, why would you work at a lab? It's patriotic. It's serving your country. It's you're on the forefront of technology. You're not in it to make money. You're in it because you're doing something that's useful, that's going to have a legacy, that's going to last. These are the selling points that we can use to try to recruit people to the lab.
I had never thought of that. And I got to tell you, I had a little goosebumps there because that is really cool. I can't have a conversation about the lab without talking about the supercomputer. We were out there last night and Director Kearns told us that right now where you're at, it's kind of the second fastest computer in the world. But as more stuff comes on and as more cells get activated and whatnot, Aurora will be the fastest supercomputer on the planet?
That's right. That's right. And that is another selling point, actually. Why would you want to work at the lab? We have so many high-quality specialized tools for people to do their work, and the supercomputer is one of them. The advanced photon source is another one, the brightest X-ray source in the nation when that comes back online. Mm-hmm. We have the Center for Nanomaterials Research. So there are capabilities at the lab. Because the DOE takes this long-term view that we can design, build, and install that other companies can't, they just can't afford to do that. So you can come to the lab and leverage the expertise, leverage the world-class facilities that we have to do technical work.
But then there's still the one-on-one attention that MMIC and CRI and other groups within the lab bring to the table.
That's right.
For that company or that business.
That's right.
I mean, it is every time I learn more about the lab, and I've been involved with the lab for going on 20 years now, I learned something new and exciting about the lab that I thought, again, because I was that guy. I'll never forget. I grew up on the South Side. We had relatives in the western suburbs. My dad hated paying tolls. Ironically, I was the director of the tollway for a period of time. So we would take the back roads and go down Archer Avenue. And I would always ask myself, what is back there? What is behind those trees? What's going on there? And the more you learn, the more you unpeel that onion, the more you see that the stuff that you're doing is really at the grassroots level to help businesses and help grow the economy.
It's a hidden gem. I mean, and, you know, we don't want it to be hidden. We want the gemness, if you will, to be really public.
Yeah.
And not only Argonne National Lab, but also Fermi National Lab.
And as we talked earlier about GSEP and World Business Chicago, and as we do these asset maps and as we march forward with our global mission for economic development and things like foreign direct investment and things like recruiting companies from China and Berlin and Mexico and Canada and Japan and parts far and wide, the fact that Argonne and Fermi are located in the Chicagoland area is, believe me, I mean, if that is not the number one asset, it's certainly in the team photo because—
As long as people know how to leverage it, as long as they know how to get in, you mm-hmm. know, like you were talking about, asking about earlier is, okay, so I know there's this thing called Argonne Lab, but what do I do with it and how do I connect with it and what are the things that we can do together? And that's why being invited to come onto the podcast is such a big deal for us. So thank you so much for the invitation.
And it's a big deal for us. So Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. It's so exciting to learn about MIMIC and everything that's happening at Argonne.
Greg, thanks a lot for the invitation. You know, I can speak knowledgeably about a little, but you're going to want to have other people on that can speak knowledgeably about a lot.
And that's it for today's show. Chris, thanks for joining me. As always, a special thanks to the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thanks for listening and see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.